the next press conference. This is a media-only event here at the headquarters. And we're going to go now to the podium, and leading our press conference today is our RCPD's Public Information Officer, Haley Rowland.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for coming. My name is Haley Rowland. I'm the Public Information Officer for the Riley County Police Department. We appreciate you coming out today. I know we just had a press conference, but we'd like to keep you updated on the situation as things change. Today, you're going to be hearing from Riley County Emergency Management Director Pat Collins, and then you're also going to be hearing from Brian McNulty with the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. Following those statements, we will take some questions, and we'll answer what questions that we can. We are live streaming this on the Manhattan Flood Updates Facebook page and Twitter account. At this time, we do not have staffing available to monitor those comments, but we will answer those as soon as the press conference is over. If you are not able to get your questions answered through that avenue, we still also have our resource hotline. That hotline number is 785-587-4526.
And Riley County Emergency Operations Director Pat Collins.
Hi, my name is Pat Collins, Riley County Emergency Management Director. And I just wanted to go over a few things, some current updates, and just kind of remind some people of some of the precautions to take to, as we do have some potential floodwaters. We did do an evacuation advisory last night. And the evacuation advisory is basically saying, hey, we may order an evacuation in the next 24 to 72 hours. Now, that doesn't mean we are in any kind of evacuation order at this time, but it's a way to prepare people to motivate them to take the precautions, to understand that we may have evacuations coming in the near future. And it's the best way we can do it. I had Manhattan Fire Department had people go door to door. Riley County Fire Department had people go door-to-door on Temple Lane. So I think we did get to everybody that we targeted. Looking at the levels this morning, they didn't get over any roads and didn't affect anybody yet. So that's good news. We are pre-positioning some barricades in case we do need to close roads or evacuate areas and things like that. So the people in the Dix Edition, some of those Berry Streets, so the trailer courts, down along Casement, maybe even over on Marlette, depending on how far we go, we're going to pre-position some barricades and just get it there, so if we need it, they're already in place, and all we have to do is turn them around. I do want to remind people to take precautions around these areas where there is flood water. Flood water is contaminated with whatever happens to be between the source of the water and where it ends up downstream, and so we encourage people to stay out of flood waters. We encourage people to not drive into or drive through floodwaters, and whatever you do, take additional precautions in those areas at night, especially where you don't know if how deep those waters are or if the road is still in place. We would like to thank everybody that signed up on our Everbridge, our notification system, both in Riley County and Pottawatomie County. I do want to remind you, though, that just because you signed up for it, if you haven't gone in and checked the box that says, I want flood information, you may not get flood information. So log back in, go back in, check that box that says, I want flood information. The other thing we see with rising water anywhere we go is the deterioration of some of the stream banks. So we have had people going out and looking at some of the water that's being released from the dam down the Blue River, staying close to edges of bridges and things like that, and we want to encourage people to stay away from those floodwaters. Those banks could be deteriorated. We don't want anybody falling into those waters. Last night we did open up a shelter. It's at Westview Church at 615 Gillespie. It is a pet-friendly facility. And that is, if people wanted to go ahead and evacuate early, if it took them a while, if they had a large family that needed to move, or special requirements, we wanted to give them the time to do that. So we went ahead and opened that up last night around 9 o'clock, and it is still open at this time. And again, just remind you, we are looking for volunteers, getting them pre-positioned and vetting some of those people as they sign up, finding out what their capabilities are, some of their experience, so we can better assign them during an emergency if it occurs. And that website is the cityofmhk.com/flood. Just go on there and or go to or contact the Flint Hills Volunteer Center. So if anybody wants to volunteer, those are the two places to go and sign up right now. Thank you.
Thank you, Pat. Next, we're going to hear from Brian McNulty with the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers.
Good morning. I'm Brian McNulty. I'm the Operations Project Manager at Tuttle Creek Lake with the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. We had the public information meeting last week, and I'll refresh everybody's memory about the operations of the lake. Last week, we were in flood control operations, which meant we had space available in the flood control pool to store water, and our releases were being dictated by downstream flow targets. You'll note that we started making releases yesterday. Those targets downstream are way over target, namely Waverly, Missouri. So obviously we are no longer in flood control operations. Surcharge operations begin when the water reaches the top of the tanner gates at Tuttle Creek Lake, and releases from the lake then are determined by not what's going on downstream, by what's coming into the lake. Since the lake has not reached the top of the tanner gates, we are in the zone of what is what's called the transition to surcharge. We have identified that there is enough water upstream of the dam that if we would have stayed at minimum outflows, we would have filled the lake to the top of the gates. And when we are in that position, we have three main objectives in our transition before we go into surcharge. That is, we make as small as releases as possible to just pass those inflows as they occur. We want to ensure that the tanner gates are not overtopped, and we want to ensure that releases from surcharge are not larger than the inflows. And that's the position that we're in right now. We ramped up releases yesterday, ultimately to 25,000 cubic feet per second. All of those releases are being made out of the outlet works at the west end of the dam. At this point, we do not have any gate orders or plans to open the spillway gates. We still have a half a foot of space below those spillway gates as of right now. The lake is still slowly continuing to rise as we projected. But as of now, we are able to manage those inflows out of the outlet works, and we'll continue to do so. If we are seeing that the tanner gates or the spillway gates are going to be overtopped, that's when spillway releases would occur. That's a very dynamic situation right now, and if you saw the forecast yesterday, they were changed at least three times. Original releases were expected to be in the 15,000 cubic feet per second range. At 2 o'clock, we raised that to 20,000 cubic feet per second, and at 7 o'clock yesterday evening, we raised that to 25,000 cubic feet per second. Our water management division is calculating those inflows on an hourly basis, 24 hours a day, and we will be making adjustments to those basically around the clock. And we are trying to make sure that gate changes occur in daylight hours to make so that, especially if it's a large change, people can react to that. Based on that, everybody wants to know when we're opening the spillway gates. That's not determinable at this point. So we are in that transition zone. Once the flood pool fills, the inflow into the lake is going to determine if those spillway gates would be used. So easily, with today's release, 25,000 cubic feet per second coming into the lake can be released through the outlet works and would continue to be done. If we need to transition to the spillway, don't think of that as a wall of water going down the valley below the dam. The spillway gates can be regulated down to release the amount of water that's coming out of the outlet works right now. Other than coming out of the pipe in the west end of the dam, it's coming out of the ditch at the east end of the dam is an easy way to show that. The volume of water going downstream, it would remain the same whether it was coming from one structure or the other. So just because the spillway goes into operation doesn't necessarily mean that there's going to be enough water to cause an evacuation downstream. Remember what surcharge is, though. It's based upon water that's coming into the lake. That's what's dictating the release. So right now we have a low enough inflow that we're managing those releases within channel downstream. That's why the spillway hasn't been used. And it's also because we haven't projected the spillway to be overtopped, the gates of the spillway to be overtopped. So we can regulate smaller discharges through the emergency spillway. The main advantage that that has is if that inflow does result in the pool rising above the top of gates, when we raise those gates to make that release, that induces the surcharge in the lake. So the bottom of the gate goes up and makes a release, but the top of the gate goes up as well. And so that water is still detained until the spillway can pass that inflow. That's as easy as I can explain it. So if you have questions, please ask. The maximum release out of the outlet works is around 48,000 with the full pool. We've never released more than 26,000 in the history of the lake. Not to say that we won't.
Well, the ideal situation is they get that Everbridge notification that there's been that notification. Do have people going door to door, and they do leave an evacuation advisory at each location.
Okay, so one question is, could this situation be worse than 1993? And the second question is based on different inflows, if we expect different neighborhoods to continue water creeping up into the roadways?
Yes. I think I can address the first question, and that is the water, is the amount of water that's coming out of the tubes is pretty much set. It's been in place since 7 o'clock last night, so I think we've reached the amount of water that's coming down, so it shouldn't increase as long as the outflow isn't increased in those areas right now. The other side about could it be worse than 93? That all depends on Mother Nature, depending on how much rain we have upstream in the basin, and in coordination with all the unregulated streams, and to help the Corps justify their inflow and what their outflow is going to be.
Pat was exactly right with that. Once we get into that surcharge operation, outflows are dictated by inflow. So Mother Nature is going to determine that, and the timing of that is also going to be dependent on where in the basin upstream of the dam the rain falls. So if we would have a big storm on the lake itself and the lake starts jumping up, that's going to be an immediate need to go ahead and increase releases to pass that water through. If they get a big storm up between just east of Minden, Nebraska, we're probably going to have several days to close to a week in order to react to that, because those flows will take a period of several days to make it down through the basin, And the closer to the dam that that rain falls, the shorter the period of time it is, it's going to be for notifications to be made that those releases will be made out of the spillway. The releases would have to come out of the spillway to have flooding consequences similar to 1993, because we can't release the amount of water that we peaked at in 1993 through the outlet works.
I do want to remind you, and I did say it the other day, and I heard Brian say it the other day, is that the lake is doing its job. Just doing some simple calculations yesterday on the surge that we were getting from the rain a day or two before that, it looked like we were between 40 and 60,000 foot cubic foot inflows. So that kind of flood, that kind of water coming in, if we wouldn't have the dam, would have inundated these areas that we did the evacuation advisory last night.
Do we have any other questions? All right. Well, thank you, everybody, for coming. I would like to just give that resource hotline number one more time. That is 785-587-4526. If you prefer written response, we also have our email address, and then we also have Facebook and Twitter accounts, Manhattan Flood Updates. If you have any questions at all, we would love to get you the help that you need and point you to the correct resources.
And that draws a conclusion to the press conference here at the Manhattan Fire Station headquarters. Pat Collins, Riley County Emergency Operations Director, and Brian McNulty, who is the project engineer for the Corps of Engineers for Tuttle Creek Reservoir, addressing a number of questions and issues with regard to what potentially could happen in the area with more releases of water from Tuttle Creek, whether it be through the what they call the outlet works, which most people recall or would refer to as the tubes, or through the emergency spillway gates. We will continue to provide you up-to-date information as frequently as it becomes available to us. We are an official source for the city of Manhattan, for Riley County. We had Pat Collins earlier this morning, a wonderful interview with him that was very informational. That is available on our Facebook page as well as online, newsradiokman.com, in the on-demand segment of our website. And this also, a recording of this press conference will also be posted online and available as well. For those of you tuning in via Facebook Live, thank you. For those that are online listening to us at newsradiokman.com, any further press conferences that we have here from Riley County and the city of Manhattan, we will be broadcasting those live as well, so that we can keep our residents and listeners apprised as to what potentially could happen. Want to make sure everybody is knowledgeable, and want to make sure that everybody takes the initiative so that they can protect themselves and their property. We're going to return to our regular programming here at News Radio KMAN, live from the Manhattan Fire Department Station headquarters at Kimball and Denison. I'm Dave Lewis.